It's Ian Woods in London, and Neil White is where?
In Cannock, in Staffordshire.
Well, if I'd taken part in a TV quiz show a few years ago and the host asked me who or what is Beau Désert, is it A, something from the menu in a French restaurant, B, a movie star from Hollywood's golden era, or C, a golf course in the West Midlands, I suspect I'd have got a
It is, in fact, a golf course in the West Midlands, and it is on Cannock Chase. Now, Cannock Chase has also appeared in the news over recent years. Do we need to mention why?
Well, go on then. I'm not quite sure it qualifies as recent years, but was it even this century?
Oh, okay. It became famous for a moment in time when footballer Stan Collymore was arrested by the police for, well, should we say, up to shenanigans
on the chase. Sexual adventures.
I don't know why we've quite gone there already, but we just had to get it out there, didn't we?
It's probably the only time I will use the phrase sexual adventures in a golf podcast.
Anyway, meanwhile, Cannock actually means something to me because my first newspaper was the Cannock Advertiser. I have to say that it closed within 6 months of my arrival in 1984. But
nothing to do with your ability, I'm sure.
Absolutely not. So I never got to play at Beau Désert, which was built in 1911. So it was very much around under the 1980s when I was in Cannock. But I did report on Hensford Town Football Club, which you can sort. We certainly can see Hensford from Beau Désert, which Beau Désert apparently is translated as beautiful wilderness. And the reason of its great beauty is it's on Cannock Chase, and it is sort of cut into an area that you wouldn't expect a golf course to be at all. But beautiful, beautiful place.
I can understand why it's called beautiful wilderness. I just can't understand why they speak French in Cannock.
They speak a language that most people couldn't probably understand in Cannock, I fear. But they speak very similarly to they do in the Black Country in Cannock, which is surprising considering you're in the wilds of Staffordshire. But yeah, it's Wolves fan territory.
Okay, well, we'll get on to what the course is like now. But when it was built 100 years ago, do we know why they decided to give it a French name? You know, was there some French influence? Was it a French architect?
No, it was, well, the architect was Herbert Fowler, actually. And Herbert Fowler designed Berkshire Blue and Red, Burnham and Barrow, Cruden Bay, Royal North Devon, Saunton, Eastwood Ho in America, and Los Angeles, Northern America. So he's a chap that's done some great, great stuff. And you can see echoes of the likes of the Berkshire and Saunton within Beau Désert. Why it's called Beau Désert, I can't say that I know, but it was originally commissioned by Lord Anglesey, who owned a lot of land in the area. And in fact, it's on former mines. So there was an agreement with the National Coal Board, I think, at the time for it to be built. And there is a danger of subsidence. So you can actually see areas on the course where there are sort of grass caverns, not dissimilar to what sort of things we saw at Hunter Coombe, actually, which give that away a little bit.
So let's go first things first. What was the welcome like and what were the practice facilities like?
Well, the welcome's great. And the clubhouse and the pro shop, lovely fella there, very welcoming. We were lucky enough, again, to play with a member. So we had a nice welcome there. He had a bit of lunch. We didn't have time for that, actually. But he was enjoying his scrambled eggs on toast when we got there. But there was a real buzz in the clubhouse, actually. Upstairs this time, last time I played in an open competition where the bar was open downstairs. I think they're doing some work there now. I have heard there's quite a bit of investment going on at Beau Désert. In and around the clubhouse, and we'll talk about it on the course in a second. But yeah, quite a lot of money being ploughed in there. But yeah, a real buzz around that clubhouse, and the practice facilities are good. We didn't again have much of a chance to go, but there is a handsome driving range there, and putting greens at the back of the clubhouse and at the front. And certainly in the summer, I very much advise have a go on the putting greens, because the greens at Beau Désert are huge and the burrows are incredibly subtle. And they weren't at their best potentially yesterday because there's been a lot of rain and we're very early in the season, but in the middle of summer they can be rapid.
So the opening hole, according to the pro tip for hole one, is it a gentle opener to start the round? Was it gentle enough for you?
Have you actually seen a picture of this hole? So if you're looking from the clubhouse, it goes straight up, and in front of the tee is a giant grass chasm, and I'm talking big. Now, I think that would frighten you if you were looking from the clubhouse. Once you get to the tee, you realise that that chasm is probably not going to affect your shot, although I suspect a fair few balls do go in there over a weekend. But we cleared that. Once you're clear of it, it does go straight up, but then you've got quite a short approach to a plateaued green. I didn't do a great approach, but actually still made it to the middle of the green. And then, of course, the greens started to take their toll. So you got to get used to them. And I three-putted on the first. However, glory was to come later on.
As no doubt you will tell us in great detail. But for the moment, take us through some of the other opening holes. Again, just looking at the club's website, which is always useful to take a look at in conjunction with listening to our podcast, it talks about the second fairway being only 40 yards wide. So you really do need to be accurate with your tee shot, presumably.
And you do everywhere. There are a lot of trees around at Beaudesert. And in fact, they've done a lot of work taking trees out. So they've taken trees out that are on the side of the course to allow sunshine to get at it. But they've also taken many trees out on the course from when I last played, which was around about 4 years ago. The whites we played off, I played off with a three handicapper. So I was lured into hitting off the whites. And there were avenues of trees absolutely everywhere. So accuracy was at a premium. And actually, it was interesting because he was a big hitter and he was getting into trouble with the trees, probably hitting it too far. Because I don't hit it quite as far, I guess about 220, something like that, from the tee. Then I was doing okay on keeping it onto the fairway. But that is repeated regularly that you have to be accurate on this course.
And what about the other holes on the front nine? What particularly stood out for you?
Well, the fifth is their stroking next one. There are trees, as said, awaiting on the right. It's a bit of a dogleg into a green that's protected by a big bunker in front and mounds on the right-hand side. And I guess that was my first big indication that I might have a nice round. I hit a three-wood 200 yards into the green. I had to set up a bogey because it just got a bit fluffed up in the rough just at the side of the green. But it was a decent hit, and I'd hit a good drive as well. So that's a tough hole. But it really gets going, I think, from the sixth onwards. The six is a downhill par four with trees all around. If you get your tee shot right or correct, then it'll go bound on down down the fairway. And then you've got a massive grass bunker on the right of a green, which isn't overly receptive. So, tough hole, but a really picturesque one, followed very quickly by the seventh, a super par three with views across the chase. The only way to bring in the ball is from the right, otherwise it'll slip down towards heather on the left-hand side or find a big bunker there. They're the sort of two hors d'oeuvres for a really great couple of holes. The ninth is a short par four. Even for the whites, it's only 260 yards. But the huge trees down the right and bunkers in the front. But big hitters are going to be tempted. So our three handicapper we were playing with, he was winding up, waiting for the people to leave the green, give it a big blast. And he wasn't far off being pin high, but was away to the right. I, of course, then tried to larrup it as well, but went into the rough on the right. Got away with it, really, because managed to hit the green thereafter. But it's not a very receptive green. The ball can slip away very easily down the bank on the left-hand side towards bunkers, a couple of bunkers there too. So even though it's only 260 yards, it looks like nothing at the start. But I messed that up before when I played there 4 years ago, and again was lured into trying to hit it too hard this time.
So I'm looking at your scorecard on the My England app, and I can see that I can see that the front nine wasn't quite as spectacular as the back nine. So you managed 44, which was 10 over on the front nine. But do you want to quickly gloss over the holes that you messed up and get on to the ones where you played well?
Yeah, let's do that. yeah, well, before I do that, the 10th actually is a par three. I got a par there. So that's a gorgeous hole. The 9th and the 10th are sort of go together beautifully. And this is the furthest part away from the course. We were remarking then they really do need a halfway hut there because it's quite a long walk out to the furthest point of Beaudesert. You look out onto Cannock Chase, there's great views. And it really does lend itself to a halfway house. And there was a bit of a wait until we went on the 11th as well. So shame, really. But it's 140-yard par 3 is the 10th with a huge semicircular sand trap in front of it. And, yeah, I managed to walk away with a 3 on that.
So let's –
But the fun really began on the 12th.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say let's skip over the 11th where you had a bogey and get on to the 12th where I can feel that the champagne cork is about to explode from the bottle.
Yeah, this is a great hole, actually. It's a double dogleg. So I was warned as we were on the tee by our playing partner that this was going to be tough stuff. And he's a big hitter, and he launched into it and tried to cut the first dogleg off. And I thought, well, I'm not going to have any part of that. So I hit quite a decent drive down the middle, and probably in the middle of the dogleg because I left myself having to go over a tree about 180 yards into the green. And, I smashed a 3-wood to within 8 feet. And gloriously put the ball in the hole. So it even says on their website that a bogey on this hole is no disaster, but the hole has potential to ruin a scorecard if you're not careful. Well, hey ho, I walked away with a 3.
But on the next hole,
well, forget about that.
Shall we get the clown music ready for this bit?
Forget about that. We'll move swiftly past my 7 when actually I was at the side of the green in 2 and I managed all sorts of chipping shenanigans. My short game isn't my best, but I chipped and putted like Rory McIlroy has at the Masters. All over the shop there. But for the rest of the round, it was great. But before we go on to that, perhaps we'll hear from our playing partner. Jamie Bennett has just joined Beaudesert. He's been a member previously at Cocksmoor, which is a great heathland course in Nottinghamshire. He wanted to sort of replicate that feeling of club and course. And I asked him why he'd joined Beaudesert.
My wife and I live in Lichfield, which is about 10 minutes away from here. I was a member of Cocksmoor in Nottinghamshire. Beaudesert is a reciprocal of Cocksmoor. Played here a few times, and actually when did make the move down here. I've been here about 18 months now, but, when they made the move to Staffordshire, Beaudesert, stood out as, the course I would like to join. I love a heathland course. It's in a beautiful part of the world here in Cannock Chase, very peaceful. My time I've spent here, the membership's great, met lots of new people at the course. And it's just a wonderful golf course, as we've appreciated and we've played today. It's in good condition. It's well thought of as a golf course and, some great holes out there.
Tell me which are your favourites particularly.
So as we played today, I do like the stretch of the par 3, which is sort of 7, 8, 9. So the par 3, par 4, two short par 4s into then the other par 3. So par 3, par 4, par 3, 7, 8, 9, 10 is the best part of the course for me. So quiet back there. Obviously the beautiful views of the chase. And as today, there's some scores that can be made on those holes as well. And equally, because they are short par 4s, you can get too greedy and push drives left and right. But they're my favourite holes. If you can get into those holes in good condition, then, you can really enjoy the back nine.
And do you think visitors are particularly welcome here at Beaudesert?
Very welcome, very welcome. So I've as a new member, I'm getting to know the membership, but for the first part of my time being here. You know, I've had visitors coming with me constantly as a new member because they know I've joined Bow and want to come and play here. So, yep, visitors are more than welcome to come and play at Boda's here. You know, you get a great welcome. We've got a great clubhouse here. The food's great as well. So, you know, if you want to come and play a great golf course in the middle of the country, I think Boda's here is up there.
So it's interesting. Obviously, a real enthusiast is Jamie towards the Boda's Air course. He'd, as I said, tried to chop off that corner on the 12th where I had my glorious birdie. And I have to say, I did mock him. So I didn't really know what he was talking. Was he trying to get a 2 instead of a 3? Maybe not. Anyway, moving on, the round just kept bringing all sorts of glories. And the 15th is the first par 5. This was another, probably our comedy moment of the day, I guess, is on the 15th. So 15th is the first par 5, and it has grassed bunkers across the fairway. So you have to, it's a really great strategic hole. We put our balls, or I had no choice, couldn't hit it past them, but he put his ball just short of those bunkers. And I reckon there was a good 250, 260 yards to go when he decided to hit the ball, and there was a sudden gust of wind, and the ball sneaked onto the green, going towards a flag, and the local members were still putting out. So he had to sort of shuffle across embarrassedly towards them and make his apologies because he feared only about 6 weeks after joining he was going to be booted out of the course. But it was a great shot, and I have to say that I played it a shade more conservatively, as is my wont, and I still got a 5 there as well. So a beautiful hole. A huge green again with a flag at the back. If you go too far, as Mrs. W did, you may find yourself going on a slope over the back of the green. And that's not untypical. If you remember when we played Hunter Coombe, there was loads of holes where there are quite steep shelves around the greens. Yeah, that happens too at Boda's Air.
And I can see that you managed to get out the closing holes without any further errors.
Hold on a sec. Whoa. Let us talk about the 16th hole. So the 16th is a par 3 with a huge bunker in front of it, and you could just about see the top of the flag. The wind was blowing fierce against, so Jamie hit an enormously high 8-iron, I think, and the ball just dropped into this giant bunker. And I was thinking, oh, goodness, what's going to go on here? So I took out a 5-iron and went under the wind, and the ball skipped that bunker, and then cheering started to be emerging from the 17th. Because we were later told that my ball had bumped on the hole, just skipped around the flag, and just missed by about an inch from going for my very first hole-in-one.
So, obviously, you were just able to tap it in for a birdie then.
And so, if you really want our comedy moment of the day, I did not. So, from about 3 feet, I managed to... Yeah, it was the weakest, poorest putt you have ever seen.
Never mind. But you still managed to, you know, get through the 4 closing holes without dropping a shot. So that in itself is showing that your game is getting back to normal, yeah?
Yeah, the 17th, I got a par, and that was quite nice because Mrs. W until then had been thrashing the pants off me. It was a 3-0 turnaround and stayed above a point. So we went into the last hole with her winning by 1. And I'm afraid the pressure just got to her. But it didn't get to me. So I hit a tee shot towards the array of bunkers. There's 4 bunkers in a row. Great hole, the 18th, by the way. And then you have to make a decision because the fairway goes down towards a bowl green in front of the clubhouse. Fabulous. But do you remember at Hunter Coombe they have a sort of divider of gorse in front of the 18th green? Mm-hmm. It's very similar at Boda's Air. And so decision had to be made. Do you play short and then chip on? Obviously, that's what I did. I chipped to within 6 foot and knocked it in for my birdie. Jamie, who we played with, went for his Musselman technique, hit the second shot to the back of the green, through the green, came back with a very good putt and knocked his in for a birdie. There was two completely different ways of getting a birdie, but it was an extremely nice way to finish a round.
So sum up Beaudesert for us then.
I just think it's a really gorgeous course. Again, we were saying, and Jamie made the point, that I think that the Midlands courses really aren't very well touted among the top 100 connoisseurs, you know, travelling golfers. But Beaudesert, like Hollingwell the other day, show that there's a lot to offer in this area. And, you know, I thought it's very good value. Okay, we were playing with a member and we got cut right. But it's £110 in the middle of summer. And I think that is not bad when you compare it with the sort of money that you're likely to pay in the Surrey Sandbelt or in the area around Liverpool, Northwest, and so on. And certainly when it comes to Scotland and Ireland. So I think this is a really lovely course. It's the talk of the town on the golf networks at the minute is Beaudesert. Beaudesert and Wallasey are the ones that people are really talking about and saying, you know, there's a lot of love for them. A lot of love for them, and I could certainly understand why I have to play in there yesterday.
Yeah, and I was looking as well at the at what the green fees were, and there's quite a lot of sort of decent deals available for things like county cards, and if you play at certain times of day, of course, and things like that. So you don't necessarily always have to pay the full amount.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And, and we've certainly played in an open there as well when we got great value out of it. So I think it's one of the unheralded gems in amongst the top 100, in the middle of the country as well. So if you're on a bit of a trip around, I'd take it in. It's a little bit off the beaten track, I guess, but certainly well worth the journey.
And did you get your complimentary bacon roll as part of your fee? Because that's certainly what visitors are being offered on their winter green fee rates.
Well, I didn't actually. No, I feel completely hard done to. Now let me go back and take it in.
Because I do know that food is important to you, and that's why you're bemoaning the lack of a halfway house there. But so they feed you before you go out.
I need a pastry based product on every time I go out. I just didn't get one again. What can I say? It was. I do think. Do you not think that every course should have a halfway hut?
Yeah, although some obviously the structure of holes means that sometimes you come back to the clubhouse at different times, don't you? It doesn't necessarily happen that the ninth and tenth holes are the furthest away from the clubhouse. So, yeah, sometimes courses don't really lend themselves to halfway huts, but some do. I mean, particularly links courses, which are
I think if I was to give one criticism of my club Silloth, it would be where's the halfway hut. Mm. What an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I just thought exactly the same. Because the views were so good at Beaudesert, I just couldn't understand it, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, other than that, a thumbs up to Beaudesert, and glad you enjoyed it. I'll try to take it in the next time I am driving through Staffordshire.
As you would.
As you would. On my way to Dogging Sights.
Who knew that we're going to mention again? Please do. And of course, get in touch with us through my website, thegolfpilgrim.com. Tell us what you think of Beaudesert, but also give us any recommendations, of course, as you think we ought to do reviews of. And look forward to seeing you next time.
See you on the next tee.